Welcome to the We Leaders podcast, where leaders share how to leave a legacy that makes history. I'm your host, Elena Fulvio. As a 13-time world record-holding skydiver and Olympic development athlete, psychic intuitive, and former Silicon Valley in-house talent advisor for some of the most legendary leaders and successful companies in history, there is a new bar being set for leadership. They're called We Leaders. What this means for you on this show, We Leaders will show up for you and bring their unapologetic truth, most successful strategies and mindsets so you can level up. We share from our shoes so you can walk in them. Here, the only rules are authenticity, respect, and being in service of every human having the lives they want. Join the movement. Welcome to the We Leaders podcast. Now let's go make history. I'm so excited to have this guest today, Hiba Sharif, who is actually a very new friend of mine, but I will tell you just from the conversation that I've had with her, she's already inspired me in my own life in ways in which has me seeing not only how to fulfill my life more, but create more profitability in my life and the lives of others, which I think is very much why we're here. So welcome, Hiba. And in regard to who she is, so a little taste of the magic that you're going to get. So CIO and startup advisor, she started a company and founded a company called Elevoro, which is an inclusive community of global leaders with a shared set of values in regards to ensuring that they cause innovation and improving lives, which is really, really exciting. She was named in 2017 a top 40 under 40 for Silicon Valley. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes. And a Women in Africa ambassador for Sudan. So slightly accomplished, and definitely you're going to want to wait until the end in terms of all the nuggets of gold you're going to get. And I can guarantee you're going to have aha moments when you hear from her, because I did. And you're going to wait to the end because she has something really inspiring to offer for you. And so share this with your network as well. But welcome, Hiba. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your time, yourself, and your knowledge and through the lens of the profitable leader. And I'm excited for them to get this knowledge of how to improve and increase quicker than in history, because that's what we really want to do, and cultivate these similar cultures of teams so that we rise together. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Elena. I'm very, very excited and definitely looking forward to our discussion.
Awesome. Thanks. So how I would love to start is you have a great story. I mean, we could take hours in regards to the story, but I would love them to get like in a little bigger nutshell about you and how you've created your life of profitability and what that looks like for you and how you create all these teams around you. And so talk about your story and where you've come to now.
Absolutely. So I'll start my story in childhood. I was actually born the daughter of a career diplomat. So definitely a very interesting childhood where we were, you know, people see the prestige in that. They see the potentially the all the fun that comes with all the travel and going to different schools and making friends. But there's also another side to that, which means that you get comfortable somewhere, and as soon as you feel like you're home, you get ripped out of that environment. You get thrown into another one. Every time you feel like, you know, oh, this is it. This is finally the school of my dreams. I've got my best friend and my, you know, my tennis lesson or whatever it is, you get ripped out and thrown into the environment. So I had a very interesting childhood, to say the least. You know, obviously a very different childhood. But anyone who's been raised kind of an army child or part of a military family or a diplomat and so on has lived this. And we're called third culture kids. Mm. And third culture kids actually are defined by the fact that everywhere is home and nowhere is home. Mm. Right. So there's something very interesting. And there's statistics around us, studies that have been done around us. And you can become one of two people. You can become like me, who's easy to adapt, who makes friends and connection really easily. And it's very enjoyable for me. And I love to try new things and I love change. And in fact, that's the only thing in my life is that is constant, is change always is. But the other aspect to it, you know, you can also turn out like my brother, who is, you know, who's done with change. He would like to kind of stick to the handful of people that he knows and stay in one place and, you know, and settle down and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm fortunate in that it's taught me to become really adaptable from a very, very young age and very excited to try new things, right? So so that mindset of constantly wanting to try new things, that growth mindset, I'll say, is I think a huge part of who I am today, right? Because I've kept that along. Like I at the age of 16, I was ready for university, and I was, you know, that's it. My dream was to go to New York City for college. Like that was it. And I, you know, did everything I could. I begged and pleaded and eventually convinced my mother to get a job in New York just so I can go study there. Because she wasn't sending her 16-year-old daughter to New York City by her, you know, by herself. And so I managed to study. I worked throughout. I didn't have to work, right? I didn't have to make money. But I was striving for independence from a very young age. I always wanted to try things and do things myself. You worked throughout college. I worked at Mount Sinai Hospital, which is the largest employer in New York, actually. And then worked at the Career Center. I was always working on something that would help others. It just so happened to be the case. But I found out later on in life, more recently, actually, that it's actually one of the things that energizes me. People get a lot of personal satisfaction from doing something where you are actually touching a human life. Right. And so working at the hospital, even though I was responsible for international patients coming to the US, you know, that was kind of my first experience working to help others. But then I worked at the Career Development Center at college, helping people with their resumes and their career paths and where they wanted to go. I was doing on-campus recruiting. I always volunteered and did a lot of stuff. I was a very active, I think about it today, of how on earth did I manage to do all those things? So it's very interesting when I look on it, look back upon it. I started my career on Wall Street at Lehman Brothers, the day before 9/11. So that's, you know, that's maybe a whole other time that we can talk about what I learned from, battlefield training, as I like to call it, like being a machine gun and saying, go work, right? And it was a very challenging time. But I also grew from that experience significantly and pivoted career-wise from finance to technology. And then I joined consulting and I became a consultant. And consulting is interesting. And I started at Accenture in 2006. But consulting is interesting because, again, you're never bored. You're always trying something new. So every time you work on a specific project for a given client, you know, you're there for a number of months and then you're moving on to the next client. So kind of like all that travel that I used to do from country to country. And then what I ended up doing was I decided to take a role in Dubai to build EMC Consulting, one of the consulting businesses that I was building for what is Dell EMC today. And I took a role in Dubai to build that business out in Europe, South, Middle East, and Africa. So a very large region of 60 plus countries, focusing only on 30, right?
Only.
So it was a very exciting time. It was 2008. The U.S. market was crashing. The rest of the world was booming. The emerging markets were doing really well. And so I moved to Dubai and we built a very successful business. Again, living out of a suitcase, but it felt like home to me, right? To my point, everywhere feels like home and I can just pick up and go and just become a part of that society very easily, very quickly. In 2010, I moved back to the U.S., but this time I moved to Silicon Valley. Again, in the spirit of trying something new, I had been there, done that, and done New York for 13 years. So it was time to try the Valley, and I've been here ever since. I think I found home. I've been here for a very long time now, 10 years. And so either that or it's time to do something soon. I feel the itch already. But it's been a very exciting 10 years here in the Bay Area. I did continue down the consulting route. When I joined the Bay Area, I started at Slalom and built their cloud practice further, and created the relationship with Amazon Web Services and strengthened that relationship. Very exciting times, because I had the opportunity to build offerings for the local market. And the local market in the Valley is helping small and mid-sized businesses grow and succeed. You're also taking a company from seed and pre-seed all the way through to IPO readiness and becoming a large public company that's very mature. And those became some of my fortes over time. And I then delivered a technology and security roadmap for a company here in the Bay Area called Opportune in the fintech space. Again, focused on financial inclusion and helping people who have little or no credit get access to money in an affordable way. And so, again, very mission-driven and always touching on the lives of other people. And I joined them in basically led their technology and cybersecurity teams. We took the company from 100-something people to 3,000+ people in the course of 3 years. So massive growth, massive success. The company's now public and very successful. And then not long ago, about a year and a half ago, I decided to trust in my own two wings. And I decided to join the CEO Club of Silicon Valley. So I started my own venture. And I don't like to think of it as a company. I like to think of it as a movement. As you described, Elevoro, it is a community. Really, it's because it's all about the people. At the end of the day, right, we talk about the fourth industrial revolution and technology, changing every industry and having such an impact on every industry. Elevoro is really looking at not only the impact of technology on industry, but looking at how, at the end of the day, it all boils down to the people who are involved in making the decisions, because technology isn't going to run itself.
No.
Decisions aren't going to be made by themselves or by the robotics and the AI and the ML alone. It's basically a disruptive way of looking at consulting, where there are three pillars to the business. We are focusing on companies, startups and mid-sized companies and nonprofits, and helping them go to the next level and get through their kind of life cycle and maturity.
Hard one, by the way. The first pillar is a really make it or break it. It's a very difficult one.
Absolutely.
A lot don't make it. So that's brilliant. I focus on that as well, the three areas.
And we'll talk about kind of success, but our success lies in the success of others, right? So really, our goal is to make these companies as successful as possible. And likewise, on the other side of this three-pillar kind of tripod, is the investor community, right? So investors, we're not looking to work with the massive enterprise scale, investors. It's the amount of new investors that are now on the market, angel investors and smaller investors, impact investors. They need due diligence, and they need to find places and better ways to invest their funds in the right place. And then finally, the third pillar is the expert community. One of the things that the fourth industrial revolution has done is also cause a massive increase in the freelance economy. So you'll see companies like Upwork doing really well, right? And people being able to work. And then we talk about borderless hiring. But there are there's just a lot of talent out there. And how do we disrupt consulting enough so that we are leveraging that talent pool, and not just looking at hiring everybody ourselves and doing what has always been done, right? So it's the constant challenging of the status quo that's helped me, kind of create Elevoro and create this mission that is much bigger than any of us. And that's why I don't want to call it a company.
But it really is a movement. I love how you called it a movement. And what I see in that too is you're not trying to do it yourself, and you can't do it yourself. And that's, I think, a big thing. Like even you talked about the first pillar of organizations, where they're at that stage. But I think anywhere who humans, whether they're on their singular journey, whether they're on a business journey, to try to do it themselves, there's just not, it's not a possibility. You can have your own, but you have to create teams. You have to create that community around you like you're doing.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, people can be successful on their own. Companies can be successful without external help. We're not saying you know, you won't be successful, but you will be exponentially more successful, right? If I had a table of 10 people, and I know that each individual at that table is successful and shares the same values, right? They are each going to be successful. But if I told each person to focus not on their own success, but to focus on the success of the 10 other people in the yes. room, then they are going to have 10 people each focusing on their own success, right? And this is where that concept of community and that concept of, you know, again, we spoke about this circular business, circular
yeah.
costs,
yeah.
You know, being able to leverage one another's talents, capabilities. And I mean, world economies do it. Why can't human beings?
Right, exactly. And like Elevoro, I see elevate, right? Elevate as a group versus, yes, we're powerful me's, but as I say, we're stronger in we. So yeah. if, like you said, imagine having 10 people saying, I'm here for you, how can I help you succeed? And then they turn to you and do the same thing. Everyone goes like this, which means everyone profits from it.
Exactly. And believe it or not, so elevoro comes from the Latin word elevaro, which has a double meaning. The first meaning is to elevate. The second meaning is to alleviate. And so likewise, it is not just to elevate, but to alleviate, you know, and mitigate risks or alleviate pain.
Yeah. And I think that's, it's interesting with this summit. When I created it in my mind, I thought, how can I help through your voice, through other voice with proven business growth, right? Proven meaning you've been there, done that, tripped, fallen, come back and over. And you have this business model, which is really, alleviating steps that they don't have to take, alleviating the stress that they don't have to take on, which is empowering lives, which is powering the lives of others as well. So I think it's brilliant what you're creating, because it's about an individual journey, but it's about the collective whole, how to elevate, but eliminate what doesn't need to be there. And it's totally possible. It's totally possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, 2019 was the year that I was able to prove the model out. And it is absolutely possible. I mean, we have a long way to go. I'm hoping that this is something that lives on well beyond me and continues to evolve, because, you know, if it doesn't, then you know, it doesn't meet its purpose. But it is something that's also evolving to meet the changing times, right? We cannot continue to educate people the same way. We cannot continue to write policy the same way. So there's a lot of this as well that I have kind of aspirations to build out in terms of aligning with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, those 17 goals that have been set out by the UN to help humanity, and finding more creative ways to organize companies and people to solving these problems, right? You know, one of the challenges I see is that even in the most mundane sense, like, you know, we have these basic problems and everybody's trying to solve them alone. So you have, you know, 15 companies that are all trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we can find the revenue model where these 15 companies come together?
Yes.
Instead of trying to compete with one another. And I don't want to sound overly idealistic, right? There's a lot that will go into this, but it starts by defining the problem statement collectively first, right? So what if all the banks created a consortium that talks about identity management and know your customer and some of their issues that they all share? They share them all today because they all go after the same types of vendors to solve these problems, and they go to 15 or 20 vendors to go and solve that problem. And imagine if they would all come together, collectively define the problem and the metrics to succeed, and then collectively bring together the solution on the other side for all of the banks, right? So again, sounds idealistic. It would take a lot of effort, but at least I want to get started in places where these problems haven't even been solved, right? So rather than try to rip out something that's already in place, like in the US, where we're far more mature than the rest of the world,
right?
Or Western Europe, I think one of the goals for me is to see how the Elevoro model can work in Africa, for example, in a place where, is near and dear to me. I'm originally from Sudan, as you know. And how do we take a model like this and start to collectively help, solve very specific problems in Africa? Yeah.
Right. And I think even here, to your point, we don't have it all figured out here at all. You can see generation after generation, right, with these, because you wouldn't have created the pillars, right? I'll say this. I do see, even in the United States, even in here in Silicon Valley, that businesses and humans do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, like Einstein says, right? And we don't want it, and then we get frustrated, and then we have profit loss, and then we have people loss, and then we maybe our community falls away. And so I think, you know, focused here too, but also in other countries that don't have maybe as much opera, like it's right here for us. Like you're handing it here in Silicon Valley, it's right on our fingertips. But even here, they don't take advantage of what exactly is right at their fingertips, and bringing it to another country that it's so much farther away from them could just elevate the different parts of the world. Imagine if we just got closer together. Because I know myself, as you speak, even our connection has elevated me, even if it hasn't been years and years that we've been friends or we've connected. It's even our initial connection was, wow, I elevated. And so I love what you're doing with that. I think it's brilliant that you're doing like that. And I'm a huge fan of that in terms of elevating and eliminating and empowering the singular for the greater whole and the collectivism in terms of how we succeed. I think there's the competition aspect that you brought up, I thought was interesting, because to be a profitable leader, my mindset is you cannot do it alone, singularly. Like you can be a strong me, but if you want to go anywhere, you're going to have to grow. Even if it's that part-time person for 2 hours or your friend that needs to support you because you're having a rough day, you don't generally do anything alone. So what I hear your model is really within the business space is bringing all those pieces together for not just businesses and leaders, but also for countries, which is brilliant to elevate and then let go of what doesn't serve us. And I think as a founder myself, I know that I will hold on and do things that aren't needed, which then stunts my growth or doesn't let me elevate as much, which I think is important what you're bringing to the world.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were... let's say, and you are speaking to people that are watching right now and the people that will watch later as well. So, you know, if we were walking down the street and boom, a group of them walked up and they said, hey, gosh, we're all in different stages of our business, right? He just has an idea and he wants to grow, or she has a 10-person company and this guy over here has a 500-person company. Your philosophy in a nutshell, if you would give as a profitable leader, like what does profitability look like for them? And what would you give them if they could walk away with one or two things or three things to help them take into action right now that they could use?
Sure. So I would say people should do something they enjoy. I know you've heard this over and over, but it starts by knowing yourself, right? So spend enough time getting to know yourself, spend time alone, getting to know the things that give you energy, not the things you do well, not your strengths as they can be defined by other people, right? Your strengths as in things that you know that when you're doing them, you're full of energy and you might suck at it, right? But you love it so much, you're going to get good at it because you're going to practice and you're going to like to practice and you're going to get better at it.
Yeah.
So find those things. What are those things? And what I would tell this collective group is I would first identify from those ideas the match between the person and what it is they're trying to work on. Mm. If they're trying to work on it for the wrong reason, right? Meaning to make money only. Money is short-lived. Meaning anybody who's ever gotten a raise knows that that's fun for about 2 months.
Yeah. Right?
And if there are underlying issues, the raise isn't going to take you far, right? So fundamentally, you have to do something you enjoy and love.
Right.
So I would challenge each person to explain to me why this is something that I would have to see passion in what it is they're building, right? I would have to see passion. I would have to see like subject matter, knowledge, and expertise. Right. So that's really important. Do what you know is something else.
Yeah.
Right. So you might be passionate about it. You might not know it yet, but you can get to know it because you love it enough and you're going to learn it and all of that. But don't venture out into something you don't know just because you think the idea is great or because, you know, you're in it for the money, right? Anybody who's starting something new should know that there are no magic silver bullets, you know, golden geese or whatever other kind of, analogy I can come up with. But it takes time. It takes perseverance. So, you know, failure and, you know, something not working right away doesn't mean it's not going to work.
Right.
It just means that it hasn't worked yet. Now, you can't do the same thing over and over and expect different results. So something has to change.
Yeah.
You have a goal. You have a plan, right? You have your measurement of that plan. Something has to change. So if the goal is the same, then the plan has to change. If the plan is the same and the goal is the same, then you have to do something with your behavior. Maybe you have to change, right?
Right.
So understanding all the different things that can change and being able to drive that change, right?
Right.
So I when I was at Oportun, the CEO is very big on a book called The Oz Principle. And The Oz Principle has a really interesting kind of pyramid there. And it basically talks about results. And that results are basically a set of actions, right? But what influences your actions? Your actions are influenced by your beliefs.
Yep.
But what influences your beliefs? Right? What are some of the things that drive your belief system?
Right.
And your belief system is predominantly driven by your experiences, be it your upbringing, be it your work life experience, etc. And so ultimately, your experiences are what drive results ultimately, right?
Right.
So when something in that pyramid is skewed and you're not getting the results you want, you have to look at not the actions, right? But you have to go down to the beliefs.
Yeah.
What are the beliefs that you have? And maybe you need to commit to a new set of beliefs.
Right.
Sometimes it's not believing in yourself or the product. And I'm not saying that is kind of the highest likelihood, right?
Right.
But the belief that there you can change certain things, including yourself,
right,
to be able to make something happen. But it also, to your point, you have to know what you know and know what you don't know.
Right.
And understand what it is that you can change, what it is that you can learn and grow, right? So that mindset. Failure is not it's just one of two outcomes, right? It can happen. It's not an identity and neither is success, right? It's just a mindset.
Right.
So putting yourself in that mindset and having the resilience and the mindset to continue to try new things.
Right.
That is critical.
Yep. I agree with that. There's something called the iceberg model, which is very similar to that, right? Your experiences. And what's underneath the water, a lot of times we look at, oh, we're not getting the results that we want, but what's underneath that, right? So I think you bring up a great point, and I actually speak about this and with my own clients too. And I think it's brilliant if you had those people in front of you to say, you know, where are you coming from? It's not from the results that you're getting the results, but what's underneath that? The experiences that you have, you've chosen how that shapes you, and then your thinking drives what you're doing. So I think that's really brilliant. And the other aspect is too, is you know what you know, you know what you don't know. And then sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And that's our blind spots. And I think that's where, especially building teams around you, right? Like with you. You don't know everything that I know and vice versa. I'm stronger with you in my life, right? I can do it by myself. I'm great, but I am better with you in my life because you bring other aspects and mindsets and thoughts and experiences, right? And the resilience aspect, like you said, is no's don't mean that what you want to do is a bad thing. Actually, I'll put a little cherry on top of what you said too. And I honor you for doing that is no one else might see your dream or believe in it, but if you do, go for it, right? And I know that personally in my life where not everyone says, oh, I agree with what you're doing, or, it's the straight line. Go for it, like you said, is do what you love, because you might as well do something that you love in your life. And then look at the results that you're getting and take a step back and look inside. Like, what mindset do you have and what are you doing there? I think that's so important because, and it is a journey. It can go up and down. You're not always going to have the peak days. So I think that's a great aspect to think about in terms of being a leader. Like, a true leader is that one who has the humility and has the resilience and says, you know, today may not be the best day, but what can I learn from it?
Yeah.
Or, you know, failure, not the end.
And again, I think part of it is this doesn't just apply to people who are trying to create companies, right? This can apply to an employee in a company.
Agreed.
You know, get to know yourself enough to know what it is about your current role that you really enjoy and do more of that, right? And if you don't have more of that, talk to your leader, to your manager, to you know whoever it is, and see how you can get more involved in something that gives you that energy. You know, separately, it could be getting involved in projects outside of work, right? That help you do that. So, you know, profitability, you know, let's not, you know, to what Elena, what you were saying earlier is it's not a financial thing, right? It's making sure you're not living in this mindset of, I'll be happy when, or I'll be happy if,
right?
And just waiting for something to happen, like just make it happen.
Right.
And be the change like that you want to see. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Start within and then just go for it, you know, because the world only became what it's only evolving because people take the risk in it to evolve. If everyone just walked that straight line, we'd be where we were hundreds of years ago. And, you know,
It's hard to take risks. It's not easy. It's hard to fail. But any successful person you'll ever meet has faced a significant amount of hardships, right?
Yep.
They weren't just successful because you know, they had, you know, things laid out in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, failure is like as I said, it's one of two outcomes and it's inevitable when you do that coin toss, like you know, you're going to get heads or tails and you know, how often are you going to get heads? Yes, it's a little heavier and it's most likely, you know, and et cetera. But at the end of the day, that's the case with failure. You're most likely going to fail many times before you succeed. And so just knowing that as well, that it's also very temporary.
Yeah.
You know, what goes up must come down. And knowing that's going to happen, it should also keep you humble.
Yeah.
Also keep you grounded, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then also on top of that, like, look around. Other people are going through that as well. You know, I think with us, for instance, you know, when we first met, we were introduced by somebody. And so in a sense, and reaching out and offering yourself to other people too, and not coming with the assumption of, I know your journey or whatnot, but knowing that they're trying to do the best they can in their life as well and be that support for them, whatever, you know, that looks like within your own values and morals, of course. But really, I love what you're doing in your life and, you know, elevating not just a country, like it's elevating the world to see their possibility, their opportunity, their greatness, and innovate on top of that, and allow it to be communities together to elevate. So I think it's brilliant what you're doing. I love it. I think it's great. So amazing. So this concludes it. Is there anything else you'd like to end with, Hiba?
I think on my end, I think just, you know, be consistent, stay focused.
Yeah.
I think discipline is something that we don't talk about enough. You know, things don't just happen. Things require us to be disciplined and to focus, to have the strength and the resilience to stick to it until it works. But you also have to have good judgment to know when it's time to let it go.
Yeah. So
it's that very fine line, but none of it happens without discipline. So, you know, the only other kind of guidance I would leave everybody with is, besides know yourself well, is understand, you know, where, what, you know, how much it takes to actually become successful, if that's the word to use here, but to become resilient, right, in the face of hardship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. You know, use what history has given us. Try not to repeat history. Look at the innovators, right, who have been there, allow them to help you, and, you know, stay determined, right, and stay committed to your dreams. I think that's a great message to part on, because it even impacts myself, because I have so many dreams and so many things as an innovator that I want to do, and sometimes I go, oh, maybe not that, not that. And just this conversation alone has helped me say, all right, I'm gonna go take action on that right now. So yeah, thanks for that. I appreciate that. But that's the magic of having these kind of conversations and just being in service of each other. So thank you, Hiba, for being here with us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And again, this will be on replay. So share it out there. Watch it again. Take notes. Whatever you got to do, just, you know, let it digest and let it impact your life. So continue to join us. Thank you so much for being present. And we'll see you guys soon. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for showing up and listening to the We Leaders podcast. If we said something today that resonated with you, challenged you, had you lean in just that much more, I would love to hear from you. Connect with me directly at weleaderspodcast.com or email me at connect@pendulumglobal.com. And while you're on the website, make sure to download your free gift. We create one new for you every month. With this podcast, we're building a global community of leaders who want to level up, the leaders of the future. This is a movement. If you know somebody who would benefit from this message, this podcast, or the communities and services that we're creating, share this out using the social media buttons on this page. If you'd like to subscribe, then you can get automatic updates of the new podcast episodes by subscribing on the podcast app on your mobile device. We appreciate you showing up. So if you go to your favorite podcast app and leave us a 5-star review and your authentic feedback and what you want to hear on this podcast, because what this is created for you, by you, so that we can level up together. This is a movement. Join us. Welcome to creating your legacy. Now let's go build history.